Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the weather outside is frightful, but today's podcast, so delightful. It's time for a special Best of 2011 edition of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. The first annual Nerd Extravaganza Ganzas. Ganza is the award that we hand out yearly to certain achievements, people, and just general happenings throughout the previous year. So, this year we're going to start this one out with the Ganza for Cultural Necromancy. Basically, every year there's a lot of revivals, there's, you know, just a lot of remakes, reboots, a lot of things kind of coming back from the dead and entering the pop culture mindset again. So I wanted to hear what you all thought was the most memorable kind of risen from the dead notion from the year. Anybody want to kick this one off?
Yes.
All right, Tom, what you got?
Undoubtedly, for me, Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, man.
I watched some of that.
I'm much older, and I like to think more mature than when I watched it as a teenager, and it basically reduced me back to like an immature teenager. I'm just laughing at like the just imbecilic comedy, and you know, some of the actual writing, the jokes they make while they're watching reality programming now instead of, you know, videos, because MTV doesn't play videos anymore, are still juvenile and just kind of funny one-liners. But the writing behind the show, like, it's great. I love it. Mike Judge just came right back and dumped me right back into it.
But they don't do the video thing as well, I don't think.
There are no videos.
Music videos were what killed me. No, they do music videos still.
Yeah, well, but it's not... I mean, I guess maybe because we don't have... I mean, all the videos are completely lame anyway. Whereas before, some of the videos were good, but they'd still be making fun of them.
Yeah, well, now they do a lot of making fun of Jersey Shore and like 16 and Pregnant and all those other shows, which are really funny, actually.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, so let's see. Rick, did you have anything for this?
One of the ones that kind of got me excited when I heard about it was The Muppets. I've always been a huge Muppet fan, and aside from the injection of Muppets into the Disney culture, there really hasn't been much Muppet stuff going on. So when I saw the trailer for the new movie, when I was at the movie theater, I got all giddy and retarded and was extremely happy to see that, ladies and gentlemen, the Muppets are back.
Nice.
All right, so...
And I'm also on board with the Beavis and Butthead. I was happy to see that was coming back. The voices are a little off, so that bugs me a little bit, but I do love the making fun of reality shows. It's almost funnier than the video stuff, I think.
Yeah.
So that's got my vote, too.
All right, so, Keith, do you have anything?
Cultural necromancy. Let's see here. The Planet of the Apes. And I don't know why they keep trying to remake it, but they just need to stop.
All right, well, I was going to go ahead and throw mine in as being the final release of Duke Nukem Forever. Ooh. Which was just years and like over a decade of development on that horrible little property. And did any of y'all actually end up playing it?
Not once.
Oh, God. So very bad. Like, just
really?
No, there's nothing redeemable to say about it. The humor fell horribly flat. The gameplay would have been bad in 2002. Like, there was nothing good to say about it.
Wow.
Just really, really awful. I was going to throw Mortal Kombat in there as an example of a good game that kind of came from the dead. The new Mortal Kombat I thought was actually a lot of fun. I'm inclined to kind of agree with this Beavis and Butthead suggestion, though. It's, from what I've seen of it, it actually is kind of funny. I wasn't allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead as a kid, but I've chuckled at what I've seen of it, you know.
Not allowed.
I may have had a slightly more strict upbringing than you all, I imagine. Yeah. But I've liked what I've seen so far, so... The first annual Ganza for Cultural Necromancy goes to Beavis and Butthead.
Yes. Hey, Grant, did you get in trouble if you went up and asked for more porridge as a child?
Yes, actually, my parents were both Charles Dickens.
He said, you're poor enough.
More! And they didn't call it porridge, he called it gruel.
That's what we call it in Kentucky, yeah. So, now that we're done making fun of my delightful heritage, the second Ganza is best movie of 2011. We're going to start this one out with Pete.
All right. This year has been notorious for me in not seeing movies. There's lots of movies that I could have gone and seen that I didn't. Limitless. That was my favorite movie of this year.
That was the Brain Pills movie?
Yes.
That was good.
I thought it was intelligently written, well acted, somewhat suspenseful, fun movie.
I liked it.
I liked it.
I never saw it, but I like the way you all sound about it. Very enthusiastic.
So that'll be my pick.
All right. Rick, what do you got for this?
Absolutely, without a doubt, hands down, X-Men First Class.
Oh, yeah. So Ooh. Good.
That was a good one.
That movie kicked ass. My second place, I would say, X-Men First Class.
Or X-Men Second Class.
Or in third place, also X-Men First Class.
It's hard to argue with that.
It is.
It was a pretty decent movie.
He pulled this submarine out of the ocean while he was floating in a jet.
It's the fucking awesome.
Doesn't work that way.
He's Magneto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what? Magneto is Mexican for fantastic.
Fantastico.
Mexican is now a language.
Yes, it is.
That's true. It's Magneto is Mexican for magnificent. But I don't like saying magnificent, so I say fantastic. And then I switch it up and throw it back into Mexican and say fantastico. So there you go.
Wow.
We'll have to go back to that for Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'll be soon.
We'll have our cultural incident.
Cinco de Mayo is the fifth day of May when everybody syncs all their devices together. It's sweet.
Correct.
All right, so Tom, what do you have for this year?
I think the Cinco de Mayo might be my favorite everything this year, but I've got a couple. I'll mention favorite movies of mine just because I feel they should be mentioned, and then I will top it off with my favorite. I'm going to say, in order of preference, I really liked Real Steel.
Agreed. Yes.
I really liked one of the small independent movies I mentioned earlier in the year called Attack the Block, which I recommend you guys see if possible. It's a British film, so don't let the weird accents
Attack
put you
the
off.
Block.
Right. Okay. Right. I would add to that Captain America, which was really, really solidly done, I thought. And I thought they did a nice tie-in with Thor at the end, with what happened to Red Skull and so on. And I probably already gave it away. I'm going to go with Rick on X-Men First Class. That movie was badass.
All right. So for mine, I'm going to go ahead and throw out my... Probably the only movie that really had any kind of impact on me this year was Cave of Forgotten Dreams, which was basically just a 3D documentary shot by Werner Herzog about cave paintings in France. Go ahead and guess that none of you all saw that one when it was down here.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Cave paintings, they're on cave walls?
Yes.
And that's a two-dimensional art?
But the cave walls are not two-dimensional. The paintings, of course, are two-dimensional on them, but...
I don't know. This sounds like documentary gimmickry to me.
Well, it's Werner Herzog, so you can kind of expect just a little bit of just general craziness from him.
Leave it to Grant to come in with the long cigarette answer.
I'm going to go ahead and... That's probably the best way you could have phrased that.
I actually probably watch more documentaries in a two-week period than most people I know watch in an entire year. So I kind of have to agree with Grant on this one, but I wouldn't bring it to the show because it's not my spot to bring it to the show.
I think it's a really good one. I, It's the only movie that I will remember for years. I will be like, okay, that one was excellent. Other than that, Real Steel will be my second pick, just because it was like a goofy feel-good thing. I think it was very excellent at what it did. Third pick would be First Class. I don't think it was as good as X-Men 2, which is the only thing that's really holding it down. I thought X-Men 2 was, and probably will remain, the best X-Men movie for quite some time.
Was X-Men 2 where, what's-her-name gets put under
X-Men
the water?
X-Men 2 and, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, Lady Deathstrike gets, like, electrocuted and stabbed and filled with adamantium.
That was good.
I don't think the First Class stood up to that nearly, so. I don't know, are we going to be able to reach a consensus on this one now?
I think we have.
I think that's been done for us.
Are we stuck with we're going to be going with First Class on this one?
That's what it sounds like.
First Class or Real Steel? What do you all think?
I'm good with either one of those, baby.
Oh, no. We need some argument. We got to have some drama for the listeners.
Well, those are my two picks.
I will put First Class over that. That's my vote. Tom's vote.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw Real Steel over First Class. Keith, you're the tiebreaker on here.
All right. I'm going to say Cowboys and Aliens.
You're an asshole.
Okay, if I'm the tiebreaker, it's X-Men. I mean, they're X. What's not to like?
The good thing about that contest is even if the one I voted for hadn't won, I wouldn't have been upset.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were both good movies. So there we go. The Ganza for best movie of 2011 goes to X-Men First Class.
Hooray!
All right, the third category is going to be the Fond for Farewell or Good Riddance Award. There have been a lot of technological passings this year. So I just want to kind of get a feel for what you all think was the most notable passing of the year in the field of technology. Obviously, we're going to stay away from actual living entities in this one.
There goes my Good Riddance Award.
Oh,
Good riddance.
All right, so we're gonna start this one out with you then, Rick, since you seem to have some very strong opinions.
Oh man, I just broke my dip switch.
You shouldn't be playing with that while we're on the podcast.
You better wash your hands when you're done.
You'll go blind.
Okay, well I'm gonna go with one of each: a fond farewell and a good riddance. And again, these may not affect everyone in culture, but they affect me. And my fond farewell is going to go to my beloved Flip. The Flip company is no longer around. The product is no longer on the store shelves. And although I totally get why it was replaced and, you know, no need for it with, you know, awesome cameras and phones and stuff like that, it is a really nice piece of tech. And I love mine, and very rarely do I go anywhere without it. So I bid you farewell, my beautiful Flip. And for good riddance, I gotta go with World of Warcraft. Fuck you!
Nice.
You won't be missed!
Oh, you've given up on it.
You disappointed me like a horribly bad ex-girlfriend, and I am done with you. Goodbye.
But now you're gonna replace it with Star Wars Galaxies Online for Old Republic. Whatever it is.
That's you fun. Just grew apart. It didn't disappoint you. Enjoyed it.
Disappointed
it
me. At every layer I uncovered, it just it exposed another layer of disappointment. I'm done with you.
All right. So, Tom, what do you have for this one?
I'll say a fond farewell to Harry Potter. I have never been the biggest fan. I've only read partway through the books. I have not minded the movies. They've been kind of cool. And as a franchise, I don't despise it. I like its attraction at Universal Studios. But I think it's had its time, and I'd like for it to sort of exit the stage of popular imagination for a little while and finally be put to the test of lasting power. I don't think it's going to... I've said this multiple times. I don't think it's going to stand the test of time like Star Wars has.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't.
You're ready to put out the pasture.
I doubt it'll be ruined like Star Wars was, too, though.
Well, it's just testament to the power of Star Wars that the maker of it can basically assault the fans with horrible add-ons, and they still remain devotees. You know, they hope. There's a new hope for the future. The thing that I will say good riddance to, it's a little... maybe not widely known, but speaking of Universal Studios, there's an attraction there that is the single biggest, overrated, not worth the wait. I'm so glad it's dead. They only announced it's dead. It's not dead yet, but it can't die fast enough. Piece of crap ride on Earth, and that is the Jaws attraction.
Whoa! And wait.
That pile of garbage
is
done.
No.
Done!
No, that's the best.
No, it's horrid, and it's gone, and I'm so glad it's gone, and I hope they replace it with a lake.
It was far better than that stupid earthquake ride.
Oh, God. I don't want to get into other stupid rides. I'm just glad. Jaws is going away, and I'm happy for it.
That's the worst thing you've ever said.
Go ride it again, Grant.
I love it. I love the bad jokes. I love the awkward timing when the guy shoots Jaws with his like shotgun grenade launcher thing. It's the best.
I will say this. Jaws is the Jungle Cruise. Jaws is the...
Jungle Queen.
Is the Universal Studios equivalent of Disney's The Jungle Cruise.
Thank you. I actually wanted to make that comparison. Is that a good or a bad?
Is,
it's good. I'm with you on this one, Grant. And I hate Universal Studios. We know that. I think it's. I'd rather. I, whatever. I hate that place. And I agree with. If I want to see mannequins, I'll go see them for free at Bird Ines. I'm not gonna go pay all that money to see shit presented to me as a theme park.
Listen, Jaws.
So I'm with you, Grant. Jaws was one of the fun. Jaws was one of the only memorable things I have of that place from the few times I was suckered into going there.
It's terrible. That ride's terrible, and it's not like the Jungle Cruise or whatever at Disney was made in like the 70s. That piece of crap was made in like 1989. It has no excuse for being that bad.
That's what makes it lovable.
There's nothing lovable about it. I've never
wanted. It's ironic. Didn't you see the giant mustache in the front of the boat?
They should strap one to the rubber shark. What were you talking over each other there? What was that?
I was saying it's a fixed gear tour boat.
I was expecting a fedora wearing mustachioed shark to emerge from the water last time I rode it.
All right, so Keith, can you bring this back on track with hopefully an actual
back on track the Jaws ride? That's great.
I'm done. Farewell to this podcast. These puns have killed me.
I don't have anything specific that I bid farewell to. Throughout this year, I've noticed a rapid decline in marketing and sales of PCs. And the writing's on the wall, and I think this year, with the massive release of smartphones, both iOS and Android, and tablets really coming into stride, I think we are watching the demise of the home PC. And so that is what I bid a fond farewell to. I will always have my PC, and I hope you do too, but I just don't think they're going to be out there in the world anymore.
Wow. A bold prediction.
In the business world, perhaps, but personally, nah. Who needs
As much as I hate to agree with you, that will come true sooner than I hope.
I think so. Yeah. And you could say that you heard it here first.
All right, sad doomsayer. Music. You got any good riddances?
You know, when it first happened, it was good riddance, but on, with further thought, I don't feel that way anymore. And it's not a technological device, but it is Steve Jobs.
Okay, that's on a serious note. Yeah, that was a sad passing.
True. I was an Apple hater. you know, but, just because they were Apple for no particular reason, and I was like happy. But then when you think about it, the man was a good dude, and he did lots of good things and made some good products. And...
Jesus Christ, change your fucking tampon. Who gets the goddamn award?
So good riddance to Keith's balls.
All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and step in. I only had actually a good riddance on this one. That was just video rental. I no longer see any Blockbusters. Every video rental place around me is closed down. The entire notion of video rental is dead, so...
I gotta agree with you there. I used to like going to the video store and just walking around and looking at movies.
Now, good riddance to the whole thing. It's the late fees, everything. Just out of here, guys. You're the worst.
Sorry, Wayne Huizenga, but I'm with Grant on this one.
Netflix for the win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, local mogul Wayne Huizenga, who may at some point want to sponsor our show, but I don't agree with my co-hosts on this. Actually, it was an outmoded way of presenting videos, and I'm glad it's gone.
It's gone. So do y'all want to give the first annual Ganza Good Riddance Award to Video Rental?
Unless I can get you guys on board with Jaws, yes.
No, we love... I think you're really outnumbered on Jaws. That is
Because at the same token as, you know, we're happy to see it go, but are we... I mean, I'm happy to see it be put out of its misery more than I am about happy that to see it go. Like, there's very fond memories of going to the video store and, you know, that being able to see everything that's out. I mean, in this day and age, yeah, it's completely useless. But am I happy to see it go? No. Am I happy to see it put out of its misery? Absolutely, yes. So that's how I vote.
For me, I'm just glad that the technological infrastructure exists for me to no longer need to take the schlep over to Blockbuster.
There you go. I'm on
board. So it's more of a hooray for streaming media than it is a get out of here Blockbuster. But okay, yeah, get out of here rental. All
right, I'm with you on that then.
All right, so video rental it is. I'm going to go ahead and bring up one that probably, actually I'm guessing, we will in no way find a consensus on. Musical single of the year.
Smoke on the Water, Deep Purple. Woo!
this one seems like we all have very different tastes in music, so I don't think we're going to come to any consensus on here, but I really do want to hear what everybody else has to say. I'm going to kick this one off, just because I haven't yet. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring for Exile Vilify by The National. It was one of the songs that was released on the Portal 2 soundtrack, if y'all heard of that. Excellent game. This song came out on the soundtrack, and it happens to be a very well-done song, and it was my favorite song of the year, so that's going to be my personal pick. Close second would have been Battles and Gary Numan with My Machines, but... that's primarily because the Beavis and Butthead making fun of it was so damn good.
Tom got, actually, at Rick's recommendation, got the new Gary Numan. It's not bad. Very Nine Inch Nailsy in its sound, I think. Tom has also been perusing his cable channel's music selections and has heard some pretty good metal that has interested Tom. But Tom can't name any of that because Tom keeps that on in the background. So Tom will go with what he can name, and that is Weird Al Yankovic's Perform This Way parody of the Lady Gaga song Born This Way, which is hilarious.
You know, I have not heard that one.
I'll have to check that out.
Oh, you've got it's to. Good. It's funny. Watch the video. It's fantastic.
All right. Rick, you're a musically educated guy. What do you have on this one?
Well, you stated that it has to be music newer than 1986, so that kind of... My theory is, after 84, music was no more. But I'm going to throw something mainstream out there. Everybody shuffle in.
Ah!
Wait,
there you go. Wait, it's what? Got robots breakdancing. It's got a funky techno beat. I love it.
Oh, wait, is that RMFLO or something?
Yeah.
Well, RTFLMO. Party Rock, right? Party Rock is in the house. Okay, I do know that song. I think I've heard it at a bowling alley before.
Dude, Party Rick is in the house tonight. Woo! Everybody solder in.
Wow.
That's my pick.
Wow.
I love that song.
Wow.
All right. And what do you have for this one, Keith?
I got to say, I got nothing. I haven't listened to a new song in probably 3 years.
I just sang you a new song.
Well, I got to say, every... for those who don't know, I usually don't go to bed till about 5 o'clock in the morning. And every morning, that video was on VH1. And at first, I'm like, ooh, what's this? This looks neat. And then I heard it, and I was like, ugh. And every morning before I would go to bed, that song was playing. And then at about, 4 in the afternoon, you're back from, I go to late lunch, come back, I'm starting to get back into work. And what pops in my head? Party Rock. It was the worst.
Party Rock is in his head tonight. Woo!
So I'm going to have to go with Rick on that one. Because that song is it's atrocious.
And wait, you know this is not a worst of, right?
Oh, it's a worst of. Because it's the only new song I can remember.
All right, so why don't we do this? And why don't we post all three of these songs to our blog? And let people comment or vote on them if they are so inclined.
Because we don't have all year to wait for 3 or 4 people to post on those, so let's just decide now.
Well, I am adamantly against that Party Rock song.
Really? I like this. I like your spirit.
I am the pretentious side of me refuses to let that even be acknowledged. I feel bad even mentioning it.
I Rick was so enthusiastic, like in a childlike way about it. I can't not vote for it. I don't even know what it is.
It's fun.
It is a fun song.
It's got robots in it.
The robots aren't actually in the band. That's just the guy in a cardboard box suit.
Grant, listen to him. He's like a kid on Christmas Day.
I know he is. It's like I have to explain that Santa's not real. Like, there's actually good music that came out this decade.
Don't do it now, man. Just go with Rick's thing.
All right. You know what? I'm. This isn't my thing. This is everybody's thing. So.
So the Ganza for song of the year is
the song that nobody seems to know the name of.
Rick does.
Party What's Rock name? Anthem by LMFAO.
Thank you. Party Rock Anthem LMFAO. All right, it's written down. So for the next award, which I think we might have gotten these backwards, worst of the year. Dab myself.
That's great.
Where's the next award is for the worst of the year. Just whatever in general we thought was the worst this year. So we're going to go ahead and give this one to you, Rick.
I'm going to say any and every horribly bad remade movie of a movie that already existed, such as The Sitter, a.k.a. Adventures in Babysitting, The Smurfs, a.k.a. The Smurfs. What was that other? What was that other one?
Do you still have your robot voice on?
There was another one that I can't think of. Damn
the
it.
Storms.
And Footloose. So there you go. Any movies remade like that, that's my vote. For worst of the year. That's the worst idea of the year.
Alright. What do you have for this one, Tom?
I was way disappointed in, I won't go so far as to say I hate, but really let down by, Green Lantern.
Ooh. Do you think that's the worst of the year, though?
Or
is it just the amount of build-up and then how bad it was comparatively?
It was a letdown. Aside from that, I mean, there's been so much, like, I can't really tell you a worst song of the year because I put on the radio anymore and I'm never not pissed off at what I listen to. I'm like, what is this crap? And I just turn it back off. But I don't have, like, the only reason I listen to the radio is I don't have an auxiliary jack in my car. So pretty much all music that came out except that song Rick liked and the Weird Al song that I liked and the stuff we picked is the worst ever. And Green Lantern was a big letdown.
and that movie, Immortals, was kind of a downer too.
Was it? I liked it.
I was expecting it to be a little more epic, and it turned out to be kind of just like, "Huh." I didn't hate it, but it was
all
right.
Yeah, they all died in the end, didn't they? They weren't really immortal.
I don't know. I guess they died.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, Greek gods don't exist.
I don't know. I just generally hate so much stuff throughout the year that I lose track of it, so I can't just narrow it down to a handful of things.
I hear you there, pal.
So we have everything from Tom.
Yeah.
Alright, so what do you have for this, Keith?
For those of you who used to hang out at the Boca Mall, you may remember a music store that had all the good stuff called Rock of Ages. Well, they've made a musical about that called Rock of Ages.
Wait, is it actually about that store?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Rock of Ages is a Broadway show where it's basically Glee focusing on rock music, and they've redone these great tunes that we've all grown up with, and it's gay. I'm sorry. It's just that there's no other way to describe it.
It stars...
It's a Broadway show.
It stars Constantine Baroulis from American Idol.
And it's also going to be released as a movie. There's a movie trailer. I recommend you all go there, watch it, and then gouge your eyes out.
Isn't it Tom Cruise?
Is Alec Baldwin?
Yes, they're supposedly in it.
That's the one they filmed here in Florida.
They filmed it mere blocks from my home at the at a well-known club.
And my the dump here, which is the only mountain in all of South Florida, we call it Mount Trashmore, is where they recreated the Hollywood sign.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
on the side of the landfill.
Yep, on the side of the landfill.
Well,
it was there.
No other hills. Where else are you going to do it?
We have achieved infamy as a region.
You would think in all of the history there would be some stock footage of the Hollywood sign they could have gotten instead of putting it up on the side of a freaking bunch of garbage.
Maybe they probably need people with it, like shots of people with it. It's not just B-roll, I'm guessing.
Or maybe it was the location manager who really hated the movie, and he's like, let's do this. This will show them.
This will be symbolic. Well, good. The good news is we now are going to boast the most famous trash heap since Fraggle Rock. Hooray!
Yay!
It's here for South Florida.
So yeah, Rock of Ages, the absolute worst.
You know what? I think it's going to have a hard time competing with the Lou Reed Metallica collaboration that came out this year called Lulu. It is quite possibly the worst thing since, what was that called? Metal Music, I believe. It's awful. It's just atrocious. It sounds like something that your older slacker cousin would have shat out of his garage in the mid-90s, like after taking a philosophy course and a basic power chords course. There's nothing good I can say about it, and I love Lou Reed.
Is it like spoken word Lou Reed over Hetfield?
I didn't... From what I listened to it, I didn't hear a lot of her. Rumor for you, it was mostly Lou Reed kind of talk singing. What I heard of that, I obviously didn't listen to the whole thing. I don't think I could withstand it. But
what's the thought process behind it? Did Lou Reed say, you know what, I want to do something with Metallica, or did Metallica say, you know what, we'd like to do something with Lou Reed? And did neither of them realize that their styles don't match whatsoever? Or was it like a record producer said, we're putting you guys together and you have to do this?
It was Lou Reed who was at a Metallica show and had said that to those guys that he wanted to do something with them. They shrugged it off until he recontacted them, and then they actually went ahead and did the project.
It was one of all those, right, if we don't do this, he's never going to leave us alone things.
God, guys, it's Lou again. Tell him we're not here. Tell him we're in the studio.
You tell him, James. You sound most like a bear.
So that's my first pick. The second pick, I was going to go with, just to kind of concentrate it, the kind of shift in view we've had over about nuclear power over the course of the year, which was which was a pretty big blow to me, because I've always loved nuclear power as an alternative source of energy to fossil fuels.
It's nuclear.
I've been saying nuclear, right? It's nuclear. Okay.
Yeah, you got it right.
I was really worried about myself there, but I think that's a bit too serious for the tone. I don't want to be like, worst thing ever, tsunamis.
Well, they're pretty bad.
I don't know. They're absolutely horrible. I don't want to joke about that. But.
Yeah, but a tsunami hitting a nuclear plant and, you know, the resulting disaster is not really par for the course for typical nuclear operations. So yeah, I think we are now seeing a worldwide overreaction.
That's why I'm kind of making it about our kind of the shift in view toward nuclear power that we've had.
Right. We prefer the death of a thousand cuts that is burning fossil fuels to the occasional possible
Well, the occasional, it lasts quite a long time of nuclear disaster when it does happen.
I've had that in Chernobyl last year. It was lovely.
But I think that's a little bit too tonally serious for what we've got going on here, so I'm going to throw my vote behind Lou Reed Metallica, the half-life of which I believe will be at least 6 million years.
Yeah!
You know what? I'll second that opinion.
Based on your description, and just overall general idea of that sounding like a bad idea, I'm going with you on that one as well.
All right, do we have an agreement here, Mr. Tom?
I Hetfield to disagree, so I won't. I totally agree with you.
Oh, okay. I was like, where's this pun going? All right, so we're going to go ahead and give that one to Lulu. We'll post a link to one of the songs on the blog. There's some publicly released tracks.
Make sure they are publicly released, Grant. I don't want Lars Ehrlich to come after me.
So we're going to go ahead now and go to the Ganza for Game of the Year. So let's go ahead and throw this one out there.
Easy.
Hmm?
That's easy.
Oh, what do you have then, Tom?
Do I even need to say it?
You're going to throw out Skyrim.
Yeah. Game of the Year. Runner-up, Arkham City.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What do you have on this one, Rick?
Well, pretty much the only... I'm new to Xbox as of this year, so pretty much all the games I played were not from this year. Mainly the two games that really hooked me were Battlefield 2, Bad Company 2, and Battlefield 1943. So I was going to go with my worst game of the year, and I know that this is probably going to ruffle feathers, and it's not meant to. It's just simply based on my opinion.
I've got my pitchfork.
I have to say, not only did I not like it...
No, sir.
I was disappointed that I didn't like it, because I wanted to like it. A little game referred to by most people. The name? Bastion.
Oh, you didn't like Bastion.
No, to me it felt like a clunky, bad mobile app phone game.
Wow!
At best.
What were you playing? What were you using as a controller? Like chopstick? I don't get how
codfish and Mawiener. What did you use?
Like I don't even get how you could have come to that decision.
It's just and even it's not wasn't just the whole thing. It just felt so crappy to me. And then to what the icing on the cake was the voiceover's voice.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I didn't feel like it even fit the game.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Now, we're both talking about the same game here, right? The one where the dialogue is generated based on your movements and...
Yeah, there's that live narration over it, and like the rocks are flying up and forming the paths as you walk.
Yeah.
And no, we're talking about the same game. I just don't get how you feel that way about it. I can respectfully disagree.
Believe me, dude, I waited for weeks for it to be a demo to be available on Xbox Live. I was so looking forward to it. I played it for 10 minutes and I was ready to fucking smash my Xbox.
Did you like Zelda or Secret of Mana or any of those games?
I never played those. I don't know.
Alright, so I think a lot of that game feels like it's kind of a callback to that specific genre.
It wasn't genre. It was functionality and narration. Hated them both.
Wow. Wow. So I need to recover for this one. Keith, you got anything for me? I'm going to go take some, I don't even know, Valium to get over that pain.
Okay, I have both my favorite game and what is the best game of the year.
Okay.
Now, I don't play too many new games, but I did pick up PS3 this year, and I bought a bunch of new games for it, and of those games, Rage has been my favorite. I've really enjoyed playing that. It's fun driving around. It's not a great game. You know, it's not amazing. It's but it's a lot of fun, and it got me back into first-person shooter mode, which I've been away from for a long time, and I used to really love it. So that would be like my favorite new game. And again, this weigh this against I haven't played too many new games. Now the best game of the year is Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Really?
I have not played it. Haven't purchased it. But just the fact that I've anticipated it for a year. It has come out, and I've been too lazy to go pick it up. Makes it the best game of the year.
I'm going to call malarkey on your judgment on that one. Baloney, even.
Well, the Irish don't have to like it. Is that Irish? Scottish?
Malarkey? I'm not sure if malarkey is Irish or not. But regardless, I think you may have played the game for it to win. Oh, the Ganzas are a very serious journalistic award. I think we need to maintain that level of integrity.
But in the game, it's got Leia Organza.
I don't think this is Old Republic.
Well, she Leia time travels.
Leia Organza is not in this.
My pick would be Rage because it's I've had a lot of fun playing it.
So this is going to be the contentious category then, even more so than Song, I think. I was going to go with Portal 2 for what I felt was the best game of the year. It you know what the thing is? I would have went with Skyrim, but it'll probably be the game of 2012 for me. Like, I don't think it's a well enough put together package yet to.
It won't qualify. Oh, you mean because of the? How will it qualify? Because of downloadable content?
That's the joke. Because the game will have been completed by 2012. They'll have all bug patches.
Okay, very clever. I get it.
Yeah. Because to me, like, I've actually had to shelve it. Like, that's why I went through and I beat Bastion. That's why I've been playing all these indie games on PC. Because Skyrim is not the completed game that I would have wanted.
Like, right, there's just. That's also the reason why I wasn't even able to make it as part of my favorite list, because I've been looking forward to playing it, but Kimberly won't let me because all these bug patches and everything else. She's like, you gotta wait. So every time I go to put it in, she's like, you gotta wait. So.
Oh, you know what? I dated this Christian girl when I was in high school, and she would give me the same thing.
Pillow pants.
Like,
pillow pants, a Lister fiend.
Let me just put it in. Like, no, you gotta wait.
Come on, just the tip.
Yeah. So I don't think it's so bad that you couldn't put it in and play it. At least not on Xbox 360, but the PS3 definitely seems to have a lot more issues.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm willing to wait for it to be, you know, that better experience, because there's just so many other games. But so far, we have it down to Rage. We have Rick's kind of non-answer of Bastion. And then we have Skyrim and Portal 2. Well, it's a non-answer. Like, if I felt I could say Bastion and weasel it in as the Ganza for Game of the Year, I would.
Hey, it's just Game of the Year. It's not best or worst Game of the Year. It's Game of the Year. So
you just think it's the most talk-worthy Game of the Year?
Well, if we were going with that aspect, I'd have to say that we'd have to go with Skyrim. Because that really is... That thing generated so much hype. Even somebody who has no interest in playing it wants to
play it. But it not only did it generate hype, but really it does tend to live up to it. It is a... Like, I say that I'm not willing to make it the game because it's not ready. But that's after, you know, I'm level 40 in this stupid game. It's that the problem is specifically once you have a large enough save file... It starts to bog down a bit. Like, it's like these are the issues that the game has, and I'm only finding these little errors because I've spent, you know, twenties of hours on it.
Can you mount and ride a horse in the game?
Yes, and name him Dustin Hoffman.
Then it wins.
All right, you know what? I'm willing to give the Ganza to Skyrim. I think it's my grumpiness aside, it is an excellent game. I'm not going to seize dictatorial power yet. All right, well, we're going to move on to our final category here. The concept of the year. Basically, just what concept to you in pop culture or nerdiness or technology in general would sum up the year of 2011. Let's start with Tom. Picked at random.
Skip me.
This is a tough one because, you know, when you're when you live like me, your average shut-in, you don't really get out in the world and see lots of things and know what's going on. I'd have to say the concept of the year for me is tablet computers. I bought one as an experiment months ago. And you know what? It's good. It is really cool. It does have a purpose. It is useful. I was that was my thing. I bought it to see, you know, am I ever going to use this? Is it worth anything? And you know what? It is. And I would have to say, you know, and I know I kind of touched on it with my computer bit earlier. They are really cool. They're coming into their own. The second generations are coming out now. And I think it is a very good concept, very useful, handy, and everybody should have one.
If I may go next, mine I think ties very neatly into Keith's concept of the year. This isn't a new concept for 2011, but I think it's one that's finally finding legs and will tie in nicely with tablets. It would be cloud storage and cloud computing in general. I think for me, the finally moment came when it was introduced on Xbox.
That was a huge improvement, even though that had been a feature on the PSN for a while. Like, I don't think any of us use Plus, really, right? Let's face it, more people that we know do use Live.
Right.
So yeah, definitely I would agree that Microsoft introducing it takes it to a whole another level.
I don't know, the cloud, the true cloud is neat, but I really hate the marketing of cloud. When they say it has the cloud, I just want to shoot people.
The Xbox, the cloud only has 512 megabytes. So it's like a temporary save.
It's enough for your save files for every game, though.
Is your the cloud the same as my the cloud, or do we have our own the clouds?
I don't know. They just say we got the cloud. And I like went got tested for it, and they gave me a shot.
Another interesting application of the cloud, and I'll just say this to reinforce the point, is I believe with Apple, and I know this is going to resonate with you guys, but they will let you cloud store the media that you bought and grab it on any of your devices.
Amazon will do the same thing with MP3s you purchase from them.
They do indeed, and I actually, that's right. When I bought some recently, I noticed that. So that concept for a way to get access to your media is cool.
Agreed.
I'll agree with that one. What do you have, Rick?
Well, I kind of took the concept of the year to mean what really defined 2011 for me, good or bad. On the good side, what defined 2011 for me was the materialization of Arduinos into the mainstream consumer market via Radio Shack. That is just something that is just so above and beyond anything I thought I was going to see happen. I mean, to bring that level of DIY to the mainstream after it had basically been flushed, to see that resurgence and that comeback, that'll stick in my head for a very long time. The bad, I'm going to go with 3D and everything. 3D, just it's everywhere and it sucks. I hate it.
That's you're stealing my pick there. I didn't want to rate this good or bad, but 3D is damn near everywhere now.
Well, it is everywhere.
Well,
I set it up and nobody went for it right away.
I tried, but Grant came in.
Well, I'm now I'm going to be worried about how I have to phrase this, but yes, 3D is in nearly every single format of portable device or static device now has...
All puns aside, it is everywhere. It's the gimmick of it's the media gimmick of 2011. And...
Agreed.
But no, the reason I'm willing to kind of take this to another level is that I believe that some of this will shuffle out and 3D will find useful applications. Like, I imagine now that theaters have invested in these expensive 3D projectors, there will be future movies that utilize 3D to great effect.
I gotta say, gaming, I think it's a great thing, and the technology advances in just a year in the 3D is amazing, actually. You know, they got 3D with glasses, 3D with no glasses, 3D with these kind of glasses. It's at least forwarding technological advances in video, which is kind of neat. But I do see it in, you know, when they, again, it's, you know, like the cloud, it's become a marketing term and not a tech, you know.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And I went with, even beyond good and bad, I went with the cattle of 2011. Cattle call of 2011, to me, is tablets and the cloud.
Shoot us down, don't you?
You sure do. Well,
are there any tablets that have the cloud and 3D displays? Let's find that tablet and make that our concept of the year.
Exactly.
The metaphysical realization of what we believe 2011 to be.
I'm with Rick on the 3D stuff. I mean, everywhere you look, it's in your face. And I do think there'll be a practical application for it down the road, but for right now, I just want to put my blinders on.
Can we just create an imaginary tablet with 3D that also uses cloud storage and call that our concept of the year?
It's called the Gans tablet.
Yeah, the Gans
there
tablet.
We go.
Nerdstrava tablet.
All right, I like this. I like where that's gone. So we're going to give...
Only one tablet brings you the cloud in 3D.
All right, so we're going to give the first annual concept of the year Ganza to the Ganza tab.
I like Ganza tab.
All right, so congratulations, made up people that invented this fake device, the Ganza tab.
We love Ganza, it.
Anyway, it's wonderful. The 3D clouds, I think I'm in the cloud.
The worst thing about the Ganza tablet is the fact that you have to go to a Blockbuster and get it.
Yeah, it's really hard to find those things. But you know what? They run Bastion really well.
And it comes preloaded with a 3D rendering of the Jaws ride.
You know what? I would buy the hell out of that app.
Hey, you can only buy them via PayPal in Canada from the Canadian Blockbuster site.
And it gets only using their by an X-Man.
And it comes with free coupons to all the closed down Arby's.
Is Arby's no more?
It's getting that way. Oh man, the beef and cheddar would have been another good pick. But no, Arby's are starting to close down.
I thought of a good farewell.
What?
How about farewell to today's podcast, because we're going to have to wrap this one up soon.
Old Wendy's Burgers.
New ones are excellent.
I agree with Grant.
The new one and their reformulated French fries. I know we're getting a little bit off topic here, but the main subject's over, so we can derail it a little bit. The new Wendy's fries are excellent, and the new burgers.
I don't eat murder, so I don't know. But you guys, you know, whatever.
Have you gone vegetarian?
God, we're gonna run out of tampons in this fucking cast.
I saw an animal just looked at me and it had a tear in its eye, and I was like, I can't eat you, fella.
That was a tear. That wasn't a tear. That was marinade.
Yeah, the saline really just tenderizes those eyeballs. That's why
I'm stewing in my own juices for you, Tom.
Okay, all if right. Not the burgers, can they at least give me the burger in a horizontal position rather than vertical, so all of the ketchup and mustard and grease from the burger doesn't drip down to one side?
It doesn't taste as retro that way, guy.
You know what I'd like? Who I'd like to bid farewell to, even though I find her attractive, would like to have relations with her? That fucking Flo bitch from the fucking Progressive.
Oh, she's Grant, wonderful.
Grant loved her first.
Oh, she's been my fake girlfriend. She's been on my lists.
That's good. I wish you a good life together, but she can retire.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
Yeah, let's wrap this bad boy.
I'm gonna go ahead and retire this podcast. I think we've come to definitely more solid decisions than I would have expected for all of us.
So edit the flow stuff out.
Yeah, I think this was pretty good. So we'll post links to all the applicable things, the songs, the games and whatnot.
Everybody go see that movie preview for Rock of Ages.
Hey, Grant.
Yes.
Since you're taking hosting duties this week, can I take on your housekeeping chores?
Oh, please be my guest.
Okay, then I'd just like to remind all of our listeners to give us a listen on iTunes, and don't be shy about rating us positively if you like what you hear. And if you don't, rate us positively anyway. We really would like that. And do spread the word about us to all your friends and family, and let's get our listener base up, up, up for the new year.
And if you don't like iTunes, you can always join us at www.nerdstravaganza.com. That's our homepage and website where you can stream, comment, and generally mess around and get some cool info. Plus, it's got a great design. It's fantastic.
Plus it's in the cloud.
It is in the cloud. And
Posted in Mexico.
Posted in Mexico. And as of 2012, we'll also be in 3D.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to the Nerd Extravaganza.
In 3D!
Technically, it's already 3D because the third dimension is time.
Shut up, nerd.